I'm your host, Annie Bowles, and this is News Du Jour.
Hey guys, if you follow my social media, you already know I'm still pretty sick. This has been rough, I'm not gonna lie. It's been a rough day. I canceled everything for today except for this. So yeah, I've really missed podcasting and researching the news. And I'm just very glad to be back in the saddle. So I wanted to do this today. Yeah, and I hope it's a pretty good episode despite me being under the weather. Anyway, I'm not going to talk forever today. Let's get into the news. First up, numbers reveal racial bias in COVID bank loans. So, new research coming out shows that Black business owners who went to get a loan from a bank versus an online loan during the pandemic Paycheck Protection Program were much more likely to get their loan approved online rather than in person. Human bias seemed to have definitely played a large role, particularly in smaller financial institutions. The podcast 1619 by the New York Times dove into one farmer's story about seeking a bank loan when I believe his father had gone to a certain bank and it closed. This situation and this story really opened my eyes personally to how financial hurdles for the Black community go even further than the unparalleled setback of slavery. Still in today's day and age, discrimination plays a substantial role in preventing Black business owners from succeeding in the same way that white business owners can. The study conducted by NYU's Stern School of Business shows that sometimes automation can actually level the playing field. The gaps were by far the most stark for the Black community, especially when compared to the Hispanic and Asian communities. But other research has shown that Hispanic business owners also rely much more heavily on online lenders than white business owners do. I just think that this is something that's so important for us to be aware of in order to be a good ally and to support friends and family members who are people of color and be doing all we can to be anti-racist. And I don't have good answers on what we could do to help fix this, but if you guys have any calls to action in mind on this particular issue, please let me know and I would love to share them on our social media. So next up, the first ever malaria vaccine was approved by the World Health Organization. So in an historic event, the first ever malaria vaccine has been created and approved by the World Health Organization. Malaria kills about 500,000 people each year, and more than half of those are African children. Malaria is a very old and very deadly disease. My grandfather actually had it from the time he spent in Africa during World War II. And just so you know, once you have it for life. The WHO said that the vaccine is safe and moderately effective and is ready to be distributed to those who are most at risk. It is important to understand that the quest for a malaria vaccine has been underway for 100 years, and that malaria is actually a parasitic disease, which is a lot more complicated to vaccinate against. This vaccine will protect people for about 4 years and has about 50% efficacy. But that is far better than 0%, and it will certainly save lives. And I know that my grandfather had lingering effects from his malaria, and so even if not fatal, it can still be trying. So the vaccine would also protect against those symptoms. There have been, you know, five or six different attempts at a vaccine for malaria that did not make it out of their clinical trials. So this is a big moment. Sorry, guys. I literally cannot breathe through my nose. So if you hear me like taking a deep breath, getting out of breath, I am sorry. It's hard to breathe and talk if I can't breathe through my nose. Anyway, for our next story, the Wyoming Medical Examiner makes an announcement regarding Gabby Petito's autopsy. So I obviously want to issue a trigger warning here. This story does involve murder. So this announcement was brief, but with two pieces of incredibly important information to this case. The first piece is that Gabby Petito died of strangulation. Now, they did not specify if it was manual strangulation, which they sometimes do specify. So it's possible that she was strangled with a rope or something else. But the truth is, at this point, we simply don't know because they haven't shared that information with us. The second piece of information that I thought was important is that in their expert opinion, Gabby had been dead for approximately 3 to 4 weeks. I also want to emphasize that this was the coroner's office coming forward, not the FBI, not the police, not any other organizations. It was just this coroner's office. And he made it pretty clear that the reason they were coming forward is because it is their policy to share both the manner and cause of death for every case. So they are just following their normal protocol in Gabby's case. So the whole thing, when it comes down to the 3 to 4 weeks, it was kind of already known or assumed by most people who are paying close attention to this case. But to have it confirmed by the experts inspecting her remains and the fact that they could not or would not be more specific is also very telling. It's also important to remember that, of course, law enforcement, including their medical branches, often have to play their cards very close to the chest for the sake of the investigation and an eventual prosecution. That said, I watched the whole press conference myself, and the spokesperson did sound very genuine when he said that they did not know more specifically when she died. He didn't evade the question. He didn't say he couldn't answer. He truly said this is what they knew. So, meanwhile, this hunt for Brian Laundry is still underway, and it seems to be losing steam a little bit. But also another important, maybe kind of important piece of information, Dog the Bounty Hunter has dropped out of the search, citing injuries, unspecified injuries. But there are tons of rumors and speculation about maybe some other reasons why he stopped, but this is not the place where I'm going to go into any of those. If you Google it, I'm sure you can go down many a rabbit hole on this topic. But that is all for the news du jour for today. Today, I wanted to leave you guys with the quote, "There is no greater burden than bearing an untold story inside you." If you enjoyed this episode, please consider becoming a patron of our podcast. For $7.99 a month, you can unlock tons of perks like breaking news text messages so that you're never out of the loop. Tons of bonus episodes are already up there ready for you to binge, and a discussion board full of networking opportunities and much more. Go to www.patreon.com/sugarfreemedia today to become a patron. This is the best way to support our show.
our patrons make News du Jour possible. But a couple other ways to support our podcast are rate and review on whatever podcast platform you use to listen, share on your social media, you have influence, tell your friends, family, and colleagues that you love News du Jour and why you listen. You can also follow us on social media under sugarfreemedia.co on Instagram, just sugarfreemedia, all one word, on TikTok, and sugarfree_media on Twitter. We also have a weekend newsletter called Dreamer's Digest that's full of dreamy content recommendations for your weekend and a life update from yours truly. Sign up today on our website, www.sugarfreemedia.co. Our music is by Joey Lavoie and Nicholas Foster. Our cover art is by Hannah Pierce Photography. Our Sugar Free Media logo is by Catherine Jezik Designs. Any twinkling or little footsteps you might hear in the background are by my dog, Rhett. He's a rescue pup and always records with me. We appreciate you listening and look forward to telling you about the news again next time on News du Jour. Broadcasting from